Thank you, Brother Johnson and choir. Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One verse, not a very long verse. And I want to speak on the subject today, when to pray. When to pray. God has a lot to say in the Bible about prayer. And this is a very strong verse where Paul was writing to the believers, saved people at Thessalonica. He was giving them some instructions like, be happy all the time, rejoice evermore. But in verse 17, just a very succinct statement that is made, and he said to those believers, those Christians, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray without ceasing. Now, if it were not possible, God would not have put the admonition in His Word. Right? Pray without ceasing. Now, that does not mean drive down the interstate with your eyes closed, all right? I've seen a few I thought were praying without ceasing as they drove down the interstate. But it means it's possible to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Be ready to pray all the time. And make it a habit in your life that you learn the value of prayer, the importance of prayer, and not just praying in foxhole when you got trouble, but pray without ceasing. Be in that attitude of prayer all the time. All the time, each day, every day of our lives. I think the best time to start out with prayer is early in the morning. Pray early in the morning. I got up early this morning and had my prayer time because I believe it's so vitally important. I wouldn't want to get up here and preach without having prayed before I came to the pulpit. More than once, but definitely a prayer time. And I really hope that you took time out this morning to awaken early enough to have some time to pray for the services, pray that God would do something, pray for your pastor as he preaches, to be in prayer for maybe your class if you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever, to pray. Because it's so important. What happens here, a lot of it will depend on how many of us have been praying this morning. We need to pray early in the morning, pray before your mind gets all messed up with all of the routine and all of the things of the day that's going to try to pull you away from God and pull you away from prayer. Someone has said that a day is less likely to unravel if it's hemmed in with prayer. And that is so true. Learn as a believer to pray early in the morning as you begin your day, whenever that is. It may be a different time for you, but pray. The psalmist said to God, and I think he was giving us an example, early do I seek thee. I know that would stretch some people's constitution a little bit to get up early and pray. I go out knocking on doors and people come to the door and say, you woke me up. It's 11:30 and I'm thinking, what have you been doing? Were you up all night? And a lot of them say no. But get the point. Pray early. Learn to pray early. If you'll hem your day in with prayer, it is more unlikely to unravel. And then pray anytime your peace is disturbed. Anytime your peace is disturbed. Did you know that God wants you to have peace? Do you have peace right now sitting where you are in this auditorium? Do you really have complete and total unadulterated peace? God wants us to have peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Not just getting saved, but after you're saved, let the peace of God rule in your hearts? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart right now? What pulls us away from the peace of God? What pulls us away from that? Well, sometimes it's when we get bad news about our physical problems. And that can rob us of the peace if we're not careful. I have seen people that were told that they had some very serious physical condition, but they still had the peace of God in their hearts. I've been in the room when the doctor said, "I hate to tell you this, but you only have just a few days to live." Now, that's a sobering time. And that'll rob you of your peace if you're not careful, or they'll tell you that you have something that is going to last the rest of your life, and it's never going to change. You're going to get over it. You're going to live in pain all the rest of your life. Sometimes that'll rob us of our peace. Or it may be your children that might have a tendency to rob you of your peace. Or it may be a financial dilemma that can rob you, if you're not careful, of your peace. It may be a marital situation, a domestic situation that can rob you of your peace. It can be a number of different things, but God does not want you to fail to have peace in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing. It is God's will for us to have peace. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be the ruler in your life. Do you have the peace of God? There have been times that I didn't know exactly what to do and my heart was disturbed, but I had to get on my knees and go to God in prayer and find the will of God. I can remember when Dr. Barber called me and we had talked about the possibility of me coming to this church and preaching and maybe considering it. I'd been at a church for almost 20 years. It was a good church. There were no problems other than typical church problems. And we had money in the bank. The buildings were paid for. Building was as large or larger than this. We had good attendance in a small city and been there a long time. And yet I sensed that there was something in my heart that I didn't have any peace at that time to stay there. And when Dr. Barber called, certain things transpired, and he said, "Would you come out and preach for us?" And I said, "Yes, I will. I'll do that. And we'll see God's face and see what God wants." And I came and preached, and then the people had to vote, but then I still had to make up my mind. I didn't know you, and I had a good church, and you didn't know me, but no doubt a lot of it had to do with Dr. Barber's recommendation and that your confidence in him and so on and so forth, but I still didn't know for sure. And I can remember Brother McCoy going out of the back door, and I was ill at ease. I didn't know. And I can remember him saying to me as he shook my hand, "I believe you're the man. I believe you're the man." Well, if you knew Dr. McCoy, you knew when Dr. McCoy said something like that, it'd be a good idea to listen to him. And I was needing confirmation. I didn't have the peace. God used that. But the way I got the peace was on my knees. My wife and I on our knees. Do we go? Do we stay? What do? We came. Aren't you glad? Some, I had maybe 80% said amen. But anyway, I don't know. But I'm glad we came, and it's worked out pretty good for over 15 years. I'm thankful for that. But the way I found the peace about it was on my knees seeking God's face. And God made it very clear, this is where I want you to come. In certain things that transpired, God still wants to give you peace. Peace. God does not want you to have a war waging in your heart all the time. And some of us, peace is opposite of war, isn't it? Look at Israel right now. Those missiles are coming in at them, and they don't have any peace at the moment. They're having to fire back, and all of those things are going on. And the devil does the same thing to you and me. He's always shooting those missiles at us to try to bomb us and to get rid of our peace in some way, some measure. And we just have to understand that we get on our knees before God, get a hold to the altar, and get the peace back in our heart, and He'll give us that peace. Amen. God will give us that peace. Another time that we need to certainly spend time in prayer is when we are facing temptation. Is there anybody here that never faces any temptation? Would the liar raise your hand? No. We all face temptation. It comes our way, one way or the other. What do? Well, we do what the Bible says for us to do. In Matthew 26:46, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. One reason so many people fail when they're tempted is they don't pray like they should before they are tempted. We need to be on our knees in prayer and have the power of God on our lives and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, which only comes as a result of our spending time in prayer, confessing our sins, getting the power of God in our lives, so that when that temptation comes, we can handle it with God's help and by God's grace, because we're prayer warriors and it doesn't hurt to pray right at that moment. Now, you have a decision to make when you're tempted, and God's not going to wave a magical wand just because you pray. But I believe if we will make up our minds no to that temptation, whatever it may be, and ask God to help us, immediately God will help us get through that and win the battle over the temptations that we're facing. And there are a lot of them out, a lot of different kinds that are out there. When you face temptation, pray. Be praying even before it comes. When you need wisdom and courage, ask God for it. James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none. God says, you pray if you need wisdom and I'll give you wisdom. We have a lot of decisions to make in life. Not only one like I talked about, we have daily decisions. We have decisions about raising our children, decisions about changing a job or not changing a job, decisions of every kind that come our way. And so many times we just need to get on our knees and say to God, God, I really just don't know what to do about this. Do I buy that car or do I not buy that car? Do I buy that house or do I not buy that house? What do I do, God? What is your will for me? And one of the best ways to find it is on your knees in prayer. God, give me wisdom. How many times as a pastor do I have to pray, trying to lead this church and guide this church in so many decisions that have to be made? I have to get on my face along with the staff, many times together, and sometimes they in their own area of ministry. We say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to lead this church? How do you want me to lead this ministry? We get on our knees and pray to God. And God gives wisdom. And God gives leadership. And when he confirms it, you're so glad that he did. And you're really glad that you prayed. I want to admit that there have been some times I didn't pray and I went ahead and did it. And I wish I had prayed. And sometimes it just doesn't work out when you go in the energy of the flesh and do your own thing because you think you've had enough experience or whatever. No, we need to pray and ask God for wisdom and ask God for courage. We need to pray about witnessing and when to witness to people. Colossians teaches us in the fourth chapter division, wherewithal praying also. There it is again, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Why, Paul? To speak the mystery of Christ. How many of you have been praying recently, God, open doors for me so I can tell people about Christ? How many of you believe that scriptural? Raise your hand. It's right in the Bible. And that's just one verse of it. We need to pray. God, I want people to be saved. Open the door. Give me opportunities and be looking for those opportunities, because I promise you, if you're praying that God will give you opportunities to witness, he'll open those doors for you. You just got to look for them and expect God to do that. There's so many times that it's right in front of us. God does it, puts those people and circumstances before us, and we don't do anything with it. We just let it go over our heads. We need to pray specifically for it, and then when it comes, seize that opportunity to tell others about Christ. Dad, this is very practical, but sometimes when you come in from work you're sort of set the pace for the whole evening. You're the head of the home. It wouldn't be a bad idea for you to pray on your way home, especially if you're in a bad mood. God will get you in a good mood so that when you get home, you'll have a right disposition for your wife and family and set the pace for the evening as a Christian home should be a good Christian home. Amen? We need to pray. I think it's good to pray before you eat. At least that would guarantee a lot of Christians they're going to have a time to pray, right? The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. I believe it's good to pray out in public. I know some people will look at you and you may feel a little bit awkward about it, but why not pray? Now, you don't have to stand up at the table and throw your hands up in the air and pray 10 minutes. I told you the story, I think I've shared this story with you, but I like it, so let me tell it again. When I was, we had a revival meeting, and Dr. Fitzpatrick, my wife's brother, was there preaching it, and his music director was there. And there was a young preacher, well, he wasn't too young, but a preacher that was in his first pastorate was there. And we were all out, and I invited him to come and eat with us after the service. And I called on him to pray, to try to be kind. He stood up in Howard Johnson's restaurant. There's nothing particularly wrong about that. But he stood up and prayed as loud as he could. But one of the problems was he just kept on. It was 3 points, 3 parables, and 3 poems. He just kept on praying. I opened my eyes and looked across the table at her brother, and he looked at me and went, something like that. And I just bowed my head again. But I learned something. But you know, it doesn't hurt. One time my wife and I were praying. We were eating at a restaurant. We were out here at a fellowship meeting. I wasn't pastor of this church. And we were eating at a restaurant. And we prayed as we always do, unless Carolyn forgets. And we always pray. And we prayed. And there was a big old tall Texan right beside us. I noticed him when he came in. Had his big hat over there and had his cowboy boots on. And when I got through praying, in a minute he got up and he said something to us and spoke. And then when I got ready to pay the bill, the lady said, "No, he paid your bill." And he had turned and said something to us like, "That's good. I like to see that." And he paid. It pays to pray. Amen. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does happen. But pray. Why? Well, it's a witness and testimony that there's a living God and you're thanking him for the food that is put before your mouth. And just thank God for it. I hope, dads, you do that at home. I hope you lead. I hope it's not just when you're asked somewhere that you do the praying, but that you lead in prayer before you eat a meal, wherever it may be. It's a good thing to do, to pray before you eat. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. And then pray when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray. Listen to what I'm saying now. There are times that I'm just driving down the road or sitting at my desk in the office, maybe studying, and all of a sudden there's this, call it what you want, this feeling, this realization that it seems like somebody is on my mind and heart, just undeniably there. And I'm thinking, why am I thinking about them? And then I say, oh yeah, it just could be that God has just laid them on my heart. And so I try to make it a practice when that happens to be sensitive to that and just stop what I'm doing and get on my knees in my office or wherever I am if I can do it and say, God, please help whomever it may be. And you know what I've discovered so many times? I get a phone call later that day or maybe 2 or 3 days later or somebody tells me about it, that those people were going through one of the greatest trials that they had ever been going through in their life. Tragedy had come, a car accident, or they had just gotten some bad news. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer who wants to lead us, and if he lays somebody on your heart, pray for them, and then not a bad idea to pick up the phone and give them a call and tell them you just prayed for them and see what's going on. You will be surprised how many times they needed your prayers. Be sensitive. Pray when the Holy Spirit prompts you. And then whenever you promise to pray for somebody, do it. We lie all the time in church. We don't mean to. We don't look at it as a lie on purpose. But somebody says something, we say to them, "Oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray for you." And you know what we do? We don't ever pray for them. What we need to do is when they ask us to do it, write it down. Put it on a piece of paper. Carry some paper in your pocket or in your purse. Write it down. Take it and put it on your personal prayer list. You do have a prayer list, I hope. Every believer should have a prayer list. Put the name of the people or the thing you're praying for and put the date you started and when that God answers prayer. I've been praying for a young lady that I've gotten acquainted with in Roanoke, Virginia for not too long, actually, for about 4 or 5 months. And I got a call the other day, and I've been praying that she would be saved, and I got a call, she got saved. Well, I had a good time with that. I went to my prayer sheet and marked the date she got saved and just praised the Lord for it and rejoiced in the Lord. But take those names, and you might miss it sometimes, but just think about it. When somebody asks you to pray for them, write their name down. And I saw a lady yesterday, she was here doing that seminar. Not a lot of people came. I guess you got cold feet. That's what Dr. Barber said. Ms. Barber said to him, "I'd like for you to check some of those things out." And she said, "Every time I do it, he gets cold feet." He said, "That's a bad choice of words." But I asked her about her grandson, Colton. He's 16 years old. He has leukemia. He's been in bad condition. And when I first met her, she told me about him. I said, "Well, I'll be praying for him." I took his name, wrote it down, and I asked about him, inquired about him. We were talking about him yesterday, and she said, "By the way, Colton has gone back to school. He's back in school, back in class." When we say we're going to pray for somebody, let's pray for them. Write their name. You ought to have an ongoing list, but then add to it. And watch God. That'll make your prayer life much more exciting if you have a prayer list. Not just that church prayer list that we pass out, which is good, but your own personal prayer list where you write down those things and watch God answer those prayers. Pray for the preparation of church services. I've already sort of mentioned that in asking, "Did you pray this morning?" And pray when you want to do the most you can for somebody. There's not a thing you can do better for somebody than pray for them. Not a thing. Missionaries come and they say, "If you cannot give, if you can't support us, at least pray for us." Now, maybe some of them really don't mean that, but I have a hunch that most of them do mean that. And they would like to have your prayers. And they say, "Of all things, the thing that is so important is that we have your prayers." Colossians, Paul said to the church at Colossae, the Lord said, "Praying always for you." And Paul meant he prayed for them, praying for them. Whatever the need is, pray for them. There's so many different things. But here's a prayer you need to pray for sure. That's the prayer of getting saved. You know, it's amazing. A person can get on their knees just like this and say a prayer, something like this: "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that your son Jesus died for me on the cross, and you promised if I'd ask you, you'd save me and come into my heart. I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus, to save my soul." How long does that take? It's called the sinner's prayer. We bow, and in no time, are you listening? In no time you can be saved. Be ready to go to heaven. Be a child of God. That's how everybody in here got saved. Somewhere along the way, you prayed. Yes, there needs to be conviction. There needs to be an attitude of repentance. But we get on our knees if we mean it, and we have that, and we call on God just a prayer, the sinner's prayer, we sometimes call it, a prayer of repentance and realizing we're lost and turning to God. As a 9-year-old boy in a little country church in northeast Louisiana on a Sunday night in a revival meeting, I went forward and prayed and asked Christ to save my soul. And my friend, I've been saved ever since. I've not always been what I should have been, but I've always been saved. And I've always had the grace of God to bring me back for the place of rededication or whatever I needed, wherever it was. But I know that night I got saved, a burden lifted. 9 years of age, I was a sinner. And I knew it and I realized it. And God lifted that burden from me. It didn't take very long. But oh, what joy came into my heart. I went to elementary school that next day in the third grade. I remember whistling Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I remember walking in the bathroom and I was whistling that, and another guy was in there singing a church song. He said, "You seem happy." I said, "I am. I got saved last night." He said, "I just got saved too." His name was Gordon Goodwin. I never forget it. And we were both happy in the Lord. 9-year-old boys in elementary school. Friend, you can leave this place today saved on your way to heaven, not worrying about eternity, knowing that when you die, whenever that may be, you're going to be with the Lord. If you'll just pray the sinner's prayer and mean it in your heart. I'm not talking about insincere, bubblegum chewing, laughing at the altar type things when you don't really mean it. I'm talking about when you know you're lost, you're a sinner, you don't want to die and go to hell, you want to go to heaven, you know you don't deserve to go, and you get on your knees before God and ask Him to save your soul. He'll do it just like that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? That God will save you just like that. Let's stand, please. Sometimes the prayer we need to pray is one of rededication, where we've gotten away from God, backslidden. We know something's wrong in our lives, and that's an important prayer. When we come, and God says, if we confess our sins, that's written to little children, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, little children, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. Check it out in the book of 1 John. Father, thank You for the privilege of prayer. And I'm praying right now to You. And I know that You're listening. You have all knowledge. You're everywhere present. You hear our prayer right now. Others are praying, no doubt, about something that might be on their heart. Some will come and pray, we believe. Oh God, help us to be committed to prayer, to realize the importance of prayer, to make it such a part of our lives that we would do exactly what You've commanded us to do, pray without ceasing. God, help us to be determined and dedicated and committed to praying without ceasing. Help us to get sin out of our lives, because we know if we regard iniquity in our heart, You will not hear or honor our prayer. And oh God, I pray that somebody would pray the sinner's prayer today. Oh Lord, I want to see somebody saved. May Your will be done in Jesus' name.